This is Leonard Robinson from the Going Green Radio Show, the hardest working man in the environment.
The Going Green Radio Project will not only revitalize communities, but the program will also mobilize citizens through the power of green education,
green technology,
greening your business,
green collar jobs,
understanding climate change,
environmental justice,
green technology,
pollution prevention,
green investment opportunities too. Things you can do to protect the environment every day. The Going Green program, it's on, and it's on Sacramento's premier foundation station. Now here's Leonard Robinson.
Hey, welcome to another segment of Going Green with EnviroBro. We're the show that helps you green your mind and your bottom line. Well, unfortunately, LaKenya's not going to be here today. She's off in Redding in Northern California, you know, doing her thing. But I know that she misses us, and she told me to tell everybody hello. Well, you know, it was a busy weekend last weekend, the African American Leadership Weekend put on by the California Black Chamber of Commerce Foundation. Wonderful time. Had workshops. We talked about health. We talked about economics. And then my favorite subject, the green economy. I facilitated a panel, standing room only, on Saturday. Can you believe people actually came in Saturday morning to go to a green workshop? Of course, you know, nobody there won the Mega Millions, so they probably had, you know, a little time in their hands. And I had wonderful speakers. I had Ricardo Martinez from the Department of General Services. I had Sakita Grant from the California Energy Commission. I had Simeon Gant from Green Tech, and Charles Mason Jr. from Ubuntu Green put on a great show. You know, I tell you what, I got, if you missed it, you just missed it, but there'll be a lot more. Well, a lot of green things going on. It's a beautiful day, a little cold in California. Kind of depressing when somebody from Cleveland calls you and says, hey, it's 75, 80 degrees, and we're supposed to be the sunshine state. But that's okay. They're California wannabes. Well, you know, we have a lot of things going on. This is the station that broadcasts the green gospel. There's a lot of green events coming up, and one in particular is called Realizing the Green Dream, put on by two good friends of mine, Emil and Jennifer Green. Well, in front of me, I have one of the speakers, one of the highlighted speakers of the conference. I've got Christopher Taylor from Sovereign Harmony. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on to the show. So, you know, I've been in the sustainability, green, environmental field for a long time. But, you know, when I saw the name of your company and what you do, that really piqued my interest. It's called Sovereign Harmony. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is a great question. In fact, just yesterday I was playing with the whole idea of how to define that. Because conceptually this whole idea has been with me for, I don't know how many years, 4, 5, 6 years. A couple of years ago, the phrase Sovereign Harmony came to me. That's how to capture it in a simple way. But I've been frustrated with the idea of how do I explain what this is? And it really comes down to, you know, energetics, you know, energy science, mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. And, you know, with the green economy and green building and sustainability, it's all about how do we manage energy, mm-hmm. right? And so energy is something that goes a lot deeper than just what we're burning to
just
stay
warm.
Just
a light switch, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's it's within our own beings, our own bodies, you know. And so it's, you know, everything that Einstein was into and that, you know, Nikola Tesla was into, this whole idea of how do we optimally use energy to produce harmony versus disharmony. And so, I can get into to some details, but without getting too deep, that's generally what it's about. It's about using energy optimally.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's, you've given us the vision statement. What's your mission statement? What are you bringing to the green economy?
What am I bringing? Mm-hmm. As an independent consultant, here's, you know, my experience, just to give you a little bit of background. So with environmentalism and the environmental realm and whatnot, I have a pretty, you know, long background in that. I have a couple of science degrees, master's degrees in science. Also have...
Where'd you go to school?
I went to undergrad back east, Plymouth State in New Hampshire. Got a meteorology degree. Decided I don't want to be a meteorologist, but I still like the science. I still love the science, actually, and mm-hmm. it's what got me into climate change. That was kind of the day. You know, this was 2001. It was a big, you know, on the radar. I saw it as something new. Now it's almost like old hat. It's out there. But it was brand new at that time. So I decided I was going to go to get a master's degree in atmospheric science from UC Davis. That's what brought me to California. And I've been here ever since. And So with that, I wanted to do some, I thought I would get into climate research, but then I realized, well, I want to do more than that. I want to actually work out there in the economy, in this whole environmental realm, climate change, whatnot. So then I went to a program in Santa Barbara, UC Santa Barbara, the Bren School. Really great program right on the ocean.
Yeah. How do you study at UC Santa Barbara? You got that, and you got Isla Vista there. How do you study?
Oh, I was 24 when I went there, so I was a little bit past the whole party stage. Not quite out of it, but
hey, I'm 56. I'm not past the party stage.
Yeah, I understand. No, it was hard. It was. Yes. But, you know, you get through it, you do it. And from there, I found myself in Sacramento again after that. And actually, that started directing me toward this idea of green building, because the building that the Bren School was in was one of the first LEED Platinum buildings. So LEED is leadership in energy and environmental design, if right. people don't know. And so I left there thinking I'm going to become a LEED AP, LEED Accredited Professional, and I would just pass that exam through the U.S. Green Building Council, get that accreditation, and I wanted to, you know, apply that to some job that would hire me to do it. And I did find a planning job that would hire me to do that. Yeah. And, you know, they even paid for me to get that accreditation. So, but, you know, I was laughed at back in like 2003, 2004, when I said, you know, I'm going to get my LEED AP accreditation and go help contractors or architects, you know, build greener. And people said, well, are you an architect? And what's the point of, you know, getting LEED AP status? And at the time, I didn't really have an answer for that. But it's funny because now...
Yeah, what's your answer now when they ask you?
Well, look at the jobs that are out there for that. You know, there are offerings for that, but probably more on an independent contractor level than an actual job. I mean, I had a job for a company out of Portland, Oregon, where I was their Sacramento office doing LEED work, basically helping, you know, helping architects build... Yeah. LEED. And it actually just recently, as an independent contractor, I was helping another firm that was hired, actually the Church of Scientology building, if you've seen it on J Street in Sacramento, it's like yes. 7th or 6th. They just finished it. I was actually helping that general contractor
their LEED paperwork. They did an unveiling of that too.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. And now, yeah. And so, you know, the contractor wasn't familiar with green or LEED. And so they found me and they said, all right, can you help us? I said, sure. And so, you know, in like a lot of people out there, I got, you know, laid off a couple of times here in the last several years, you know, once in 2007 and then again in November of 2008 when the whole world got laid off. Yeah. I was yes. one of those, you know, and that was actually the last time I actually had full time, you know, a job,
right.
as we would call it, quote unquote job, where, you know, you're kind of taken care of by someone else,
right.
you know, and that is what, you know, sent me through this whole process the last several years of finding what I have to give to the world. What are my skills and talents? What are the combination of what I have to offer and how I can offer that? You know, and part of that is my expertise.
Well, how long have you been in business for yourself?
Well, you know, it's kind of in retrospect, it's kind of since November 2008.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize I was looking for work pretty hard for the first year and a half of that. And that was it's kind of funny. I found myself doing some part-time training yeah. opportunities at hand. I was training architects, engineers, contractors. And they were coming in to learn about, you know, what they need to know to pass the LEED AP exam, that exam I talked about earlier. And then I also did some training for people that were going to prepare for BPI, mm-hmm. you know, Building Performance Institute, mm-hmm. and HERS raters. You know, all these
new terms, all these new certifications and yes. your qualifications.
Yeah, all these qualifications that are supposed to set people up for quote unquote jobs. And people were telling me, they're like, you know, they're asking me, so what do you do with this? And I'm saying, well, you're seeing it. I'm like, technically, I'm unemployed. You know, technically, I don't have a job. And
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, this green economy is open for entrepreneurs. And they say an entrepreneur is a person that's trying to avoid finding a job. So, hey, we have a caller. Put on you. Hey, you're going green with EnviroBro. Talk to me. Hello. I can hear you breathe. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, yeah, that's their loss. Hey, caller, call back in at 877-631-8599. Anybody who wants to talk to Chris, he's got a very, very neat perspective on the green economy. Call us at 877-631-8599. So an entrepreneur is somebody who's trying to avoid finding a job, basically.
well, I wouldn't say trying to avoid. I mean, I find myself defaulting into the entrepreneur role.
Yeah.
But I'm happy where I am now.
Yeah.
And I really like that I found myself here. And to me, this whole quote-unquote new economy, I don't really try to throw it under the umbrella of green economy, but new economy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, green is part of that.
That's
for
right.
Sure. It's under that umbrella. But for me, I think the new economy is a whole lot less jobs.
That's right.
And a whole lot more opportunities.
That's right.
For entrepreneurs and independent contractors and smaller companies. And that's kind of what I've decided. Well, this is who needs the help. The smaller companies, the ones that could use some side assistance. They can't hire a full-time person to do this, but maybe they could use a little bit of assistance, a little advising, you know?
Right.
Okay.
So that works for you. It seems like, you know, just as you talk, your energy level shot right up. You were talking about you had a job, then you said opportunities, and you perked up. So this seems to be a good fit for you.
Yeah, I mean, I find it is a good fit. I have to, you know, get over the whole, you know, my upbringing was certainly that general fear-based, like, you get a job or else you're in trouble, you know? And you know, even trying to tell my parents something like you know, that I'm working on my own, I think they still in the back of their mind think, oh, he's going to eventually look for work.
You're Generation X or Y or Generation Z. Your parents are probably baby boomers like me, and we're that generation that brought you toxic waste, plastic, global warming, and my personal favorite, high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
So we were brought up, go to school, get a job, work 50 years, retire, get that gold watch, and then you die. So you're kind of breaking the mold, but you know that's what this new / green economy is about. The little ideas, you know, to make a big difference. So the name of your company is Sovereign Harmony. So you hand somebody a card, or you show them your QR code, or you send them a text or an app. How do you sell yourself to a company?
That's a good question too. What I call myself is kind of like a truth finder. And my ideal client is not someone who's trying to comply with government regulation. There's someone who is saying, here's what the market wants, and here's how I want to meet it. Or here is what the rest of my competitors are doing. Here's how I want to be with them at the same level or higher. So it's about optimization. It's about kind of catching up to where the market is. Mm-hmm. And so this is about being conscious then. And so my whole key term here is conscious business for the new economy.
Yes.
And so that brings up two questions. First of all, what's the new economy? And then what's conscious business?
That's right.
And so the new economy, we've touched on it. You know, it's a different way of being. To me, it means, you know, there's less job opportunities, but more independent opportunities. You know, that's generally speaking, and there's more networking and cooperation versus kind of hiding things from each other and competing. So people that are, you know, quote unquote competitors with each other are actually optimizing each other's practices by working together. So this is the new mold. This is what I see, you know,
okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, we have a call again. You're going green with EnviroBro. Hello.
Yes, hi. I'm listening to you guys, and I want to definitely find out. I think I'm kind of a part of that Generation X, I guess you could say. Lost my job and been going through creating my own business, which is basically a promotions of music in the Sacramento area. I know it's one of those hard markets, but, you know, I was wondering, do you guys have any ideas on how to further reach the market or how to develop this business of promotions here in Sacramento? Or
okay, well, I'm going to toss that to Chris.
Okay, well, you know, and this, you know, you're the ideal kind of client really for me, because I find a lot of the people that are attracted to me are the ones that have had jobs that find themselves as entrepreneurs and want to further that and want to know how. As far as the specifics go for your industry, that's something that I'd have to actually look into a little bit. But, you know, I just off the top of my head, I would, you know, be making sure that you're, you know, within the realm of modern marketing, which would include things like Facebook and other social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer at this point. But that's a great place to start. I think, you know, in my experience, I've been contacted just because I have a website, just because I'm contactable. Through those means, and without having to spend all kinds of money on advertising and getting the word out there. So I'm not sure what you've done so far, and that would kind of help lead me to what you could be doing.
I'm actually a reggae concert promoter here in Sacramento, and I do the One Love, One Heart Reggae Festival on the Sacramento River. This is my fourth year in a row. And I try to reach the general market not the normal market within the reggae community. I'm trying to reach out because I promote not just just any kind of reggae. It's conscious reggae.
Hey, well, I tell you, if you want to really get to the essence, especially what Christopher does, you know, he's speaking next Wednesday, April 11th, at the California Environmental Protection Agency building from 9 to 2 o'clock, and he'll be there. You can hand him a card, and, you know, you can get that one-on-one. So, hey, I appreciate the call.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, everybody, you've been listening to the greenest station in the nation, radio station KDEE 97.5 FM. And we're streaming in your ear at www.kdeefm.org. Now, here's an energy-saving tip from Teddy Pendergrass.
Turn off the lights. Light a candle. Tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah. Let's take a shower together. I'll wash your body, you wash mine, yeah. You're the only one in the world that I need. I wanna love you all over. Tonight I'm in a sexy mood. Ooh, baby. Light a candle. Girl, there's something that I want to do to you.
Daily Dose, information you need to stay healthy.
I'm here with Dr. Megan Burke, pediatrician with Preferred Health Partners. Doctor, tell us, what are the complications that can occur if a respiratory infection is left untreated?
Most respiratory infections tend to resolve on their own in about 1 to 2 weeks, but some can result in pneumonia, bronchitis, sinusitis. You can also develop ear infections or throat infections as well.
Brought to you as a listener service from 97.5. We want to see you live healthy, live long, and live strong.
Radio waves and memories surf. A song washes you back to the beach that fall when love was all. At work, bone tired. A whispered lyric will make you dance, inspired. And when the computers glow at night is the only light, a voice might say the thing that makes the save. And the radio wave rolls on. Wherever you hear it, radio moves. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Brought to you by this radio station to remind you that radio is heard here. Radio is heard everywhere.
The capital city's number one community radio station, KDEELP, 97.5 FM. A foundation station.
The public's attention these days is focused intently on the problem of global warming and the damage we're doing to the earth.
Now's the time to confront this challenge once and for all. Delay is no longer an option.
Here we go again.
The Going Green program. It's on, and it's on Sacramento's premier foundation station. Now here's Leonard Robinson.
Hey, we're back. I've got Christopher Taylor from Sovereign Harmony. Chris, you still with us?
I am here.
Okay. Well, before we get too deep into it, what's some contact information? What's your website, app, or QR code, or whatever, how do you know you communicate?
Okay. Primarily my website. I have two websites really for this. It's sovereignharmony.com and sovereignharmony.biz. The .biz or .biz site is primarily for the small businesses and the new economy and whatnot. The .com site is more of my umbrella site where I do most, you know, I mentioned earlier about combining talents, combining what our skills are. And so there's other things I offer to individuals, not just small business owners, but also individuals that I've been doing for several years as well.
So you're a coach, a green coach, or a sustainability coach?
You know what? Coach is probably a decent label for understanding at least. But it's not just about sustainability. It's more about, again, the idea of energy, personal energy use.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so this is empowerment.
Oh, so you're not a coach, you're a sensei.
I like that one too. Sensei, that's good. But it really is about, again, it's because Sovereign Harmony is about managing our energy in the most optimal way. And so I've been helping individuals with that. And, you know, I utilize different, in some cases, some pretty non-traditional tools to get at some of the information. And that's a skill that I have and that I bring in with my small business owners and things like that too.
So it's sovereignharmony.com and sovereignharmony.biz.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, next week you're going to be speaking at the Realizing the Green Dream workshop put on by Jade Green Community. What are you going to be discussing?
Well, I'm hoping to get a chance to talk a little bit about what we're talking about here in what I do for companies and individuals. You know, I'm there more for the companies, more for the small businesses and the new economy specifically. But it's about recognizing that if a company wants to optimize, like the caller we had in there, they're looking to optimize how they can get themselves out there. That's kind of what I do, is I get at what is in the way or what, you know, isn't being done, and then I reorient them on a path, is, you know, I call awaken, enlighten, align. That's okay. The kind of three phrases, you know. So it's really about the alignment, but I have to awaken them first, enlighten them to the opportunities and the possibilities, and then it's about aligning them. And then, you know, I am totally against codependencies of all kind, and it's kind of a weird thing being an independent contractor because you're always trying to develop relationships, right? But, and this comes back to Sovereign Harmony as well, the concept of utilizing your energy optimally. This comes to relationships as well. It's a relationship paradigm, which is, let's be sovereign, and that's where the sovereignty comes in. In other words, let's be independent in our actions. Let's be whole. Let's have what we need. Let's have the energy we need to optimally operate. And then that will create more harmony. See, disharmony, in my opinion, this all comes down to this idea. Disharmony comes from this codependence, this sense of perception of lack. And so I need to pull you in, and you're going to need to pull me in. We're going to trade these needs. And that becomes a relationship, right? And that's on a personal level.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of marriages that are based on that. And that also comes in this economy. The economy is just a macrocosmic relationship. If you look at it, it's just a bunch of relationships all interacting. And so I don't want to form codependencies with these entities. I want to lead them to water. I'm not going to force them to drink.
Okay, so you fill them up with the good stuff, and then you wean them off to
exactly.
Go off. Okay. Well, that's, you know, In that way, that is a bit of sustainability, but it's more like an internal personal sustainability, you know, inward out rather than outward in.
That's a great way to put it, and that's exactly how I approach it. the inward out. And so working with a business, I have kind of three phases that are under the umbrella of this conscious business. How do we become more conscious? You know, the first one is the corporate wellness. You know, in corporate, you know, it's a big word. It sounds like giant company. But really, even if you're a few people, you know, in your company, corporate, it captures it. But wellness, and this is the idea of team building. Again, going inside first. Who do we work? Who do we have working for us? Who is the business owner? How are they getting in their own way? You know, and this is where we get into a little bit of more, you know, psychological and assessment kind of work. So it's team building, it's stress reduction. I have access to different tools like HeartMath. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with HeartMath.
Yeah, what is HeartMath?
The Institute of HeartMath. They're based here, you know, just over in the Bay Area, Northern California. They've done extensive research on the interactions between the heart and the brain. So this, again, comes down to energy regulation. And they have, you know, lots of results on how our hearts are actually governing our brains more than our brains are governing our hearts.
I've been told that.
Yeah, and that, but that is an eye-opening thing. But it all comes down to getting our stress levels to the point where we can be what they term as coherent, okay? And so I see myself in that first rung of those three phases of a conscious business, this corporate wellness aspect, helping companies not only learn about themselves more and do some team building, but also the stress reduction so they can more optimally perform. The second phase then is this idea of business transparency, okay? And so this is about the business owner getting honest with themselves about their business. I don't know if you're a fan of Chef Ramsay and his show, yeah. Kitchen Nightmares.
Yes.
Think of that, only less drama. But the idea of getting in touch with what's really going on there so we can really move forward. And so I use a bunch of traditional tools in that sense, you know, a lot of, you know, marketing and those kind of regular tools that you typically hear of, business planning and whatnot, but with the intention of getting at the core. Then the final phase is this social responsibility. This is where the green and sustainability comes in. And so, you know, once you're aware of yourself as a business owner, aware of your employees and how to maximize their productivity by optimally using their energy, not just burning them out, in other words, then we can start interacting with our other parts of the economy, you know, that's out there. So who are our vendors? What are they, you know, what are the materials made out of from those vendors? Okay. How are we optimally supplying for our clients and customers based on who we're vending with? You know, and it's those kinds of questions, those things. And then the final thing I'll say just before, and I'll let you have it here, is I'm not sure if you're familiar with the new corporations out there, the flexible purpose corporations.
Oh, yes.
And B Corps. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
Helping them if they want to, you know, stand out amongst their competitors. A way to do that is to be, you know, if people aren't familiar, these flexible purpose corporations allow you to be not so much of a nonprofit, but you can put your shareholder profits as a second tier priority rather than the only priority, which is creating you, you know, causing you to make decisions for your company that aren't aligned. And again, I'm all about this alignment thing, that aren't aligned with your true purpose.
You're like a spiritual chiropractor, keeping everything in alignment. And if I get what you're saying, because, you know, people think sustainability and green, they think of hugging trees. You're telling people, hug yourself, hug others, then hug the trees, then, right?
That, you know, I haven't put it that way. I love the way you just put that, though. It is, because it does start from within. It starts with the self. And
yes.
That's where it is. It's like, exactly, hug yourself, then hug others.
Uh-huh.
And then together, go hug the trees.
Hug
you know,
the trees.
Go take care of the trees. And that's the order I see it in, because we have a lot of self-denial, a lot of guilt out there, especially,
yes.
You know, in this green and sustainability movement. It's so much guilt. It's riddled with guilt. I could talk for hours about climate change and the two sides and how both sides manipulate it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and but we won't go into that, but
hey, who knows? We might.
We might. But, you know, this, the guilt factor.
Yes.
It's just enormous, and I think we can do this without the guilt.
Well, you know, I guess people are motivated. You tell them, this will happen if you do this, or this will happen if you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't like the scare tactics at all, but it makes sense. Like, I don't get into the science of climate change. You know, I let the scientists argue. I'm a recovering chemical engineer. I'm trying to forget what I learned years ago. But I say, okay, hey, don't get into the science, but God, different types of fuel, less smog and more, you know, more opportunity. That works for me. And again, my pet peeve of buying foreign oil. Well, looks like we have a call. You're going green with EnviroBro. Talk to me.
Hey, EnviroBro, it's the Green Diva. How are you this morning?
Excellent, Green Diva. Say hello to Chris Taylor.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Have you been listening?
No, I can't complain.
Have you been listening to the show?
I haven't gotten to tune in yet this morning. My boss is just driving me hard this morning.
Well, I tell you, you gotta listen to Chris. He embodies. He kind of reminds me of the things that you talk about. But you'll get a chance to listen to the show. We actually archive the Going Green shows now, so you'll get a chance to listen. So,
perfect.
Do you have an Enviro minute for us?
I sure do. Well, this time of year, I know everybody is getting into the spring cleaning bug, and I'm actually getting ready to move. So there's a lot of cleaning out and organizing here, and so I thought I would share a few tips with everybody today to help kind of, greenify your cleaning, if you will. First of all, when you are going through and cleaning out your closet, which, you have all those duds in there that you just need to get rid of, the rule of thumb is if you haven't worn it in the past 6 months or so, it's probably time to get rid of it. Of course, you can go and donate them, or you can always swap or sell them online, and then that way somebody else can use them again rather than throwing them out. The average American throws away over 20 or 30 pounds of clothing a year, I want to say. So that's something we should consider. Another option is if you're getting rid of your bedding and you think that it's too worn or just not so fresh that you want to donate it or sell it to a thrift store, animal shelters can always use your old bedding. They use it, no matter what the condition, for the kennels to make your furry friends a little warm and cozier, which I think is just great. And of course, as you're actually physically cleaning and, disinfecting your house, you want to make sure that unless a cleaning product is marked as certified biodegradable, you want to avoid dumping half-full bottles down the drain or tossing them in the trash because they could have chemicals in them. Instead, you want to clean with the product all the way till it's used up or, lend it to a neighbor till it's gone out and then rinse out the bottle and recycle it. So when you're going through and sprucing your house this next couple weeks and getting it ready for spring, just think about all the different ways that you can help out your local community, your local animals, and your local environment. I'm the Green Diva, and that's this week's Enviro Minute.
Thank you, Green Diva, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Going Green with Enviro Bro, where you green your mind and your bottom line. Hold on, we'll be right back after this.
Because the heart is true, she says, baby, everything is all right. Upright, clean out of sight. Baby, everything is all right. Upright, clean out of sight. Baby, everything is all right. Upright, yeah. Baby, everything is all right.
Have you ever experienced jet lag? I flew across country from Atlanta to Los Angeles. I arrived in LA at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, which according to my body was 11 o'clock at night. The following morning, I automatically awoke at 5 a.m. and went to a workshop that lasted all day. Several days later, when I returned home, I felt exhausted. Because of the time change, I didn't have the mental energy to resume my normal regimen of getting up at 5:30 a.m. to meditate and exercise. If you're without a regular time of going to bed at night, you more than likely will experience a feeling of sluggishness during the day, similar to jet lag. Start going to bed at a set time and getting at least 8 hours of sleep. You'll have more power to get you through the day. I'm Ed Gray. Plant today's thought in the garden of your mind and let your consciousness grow with it.
If you like a little bit of rhythmic soul with your smooth vibes, we got that. Sacramento Smooth Vibe, Sunday afternoons, 12 to 4, with Leon Guidry. No one does it better. Sacramento Smooth Vibe, Sunday afternoons, 12 to 4, on 97.5. It's a whole lot more than jazz.
The capital city's number one community radio station, KDEE LP, 97.5 FM, a foundation station.
The public's attention these days is focused intently on the problem of global warming and the damage we're doing to the earth.
Now's the time to confront this challenge once and for all. Delay is no longer an option.
Whoa. Here we go again.
The Going Green program, it's on, and it's on Sacramento's premier foundation station. Now here's Leonard Robinson.
Okay, we're back, and I've got Christopher Taylor from Sovereign Harmony. Chris, before we get in-depth, give everybody that website again and spell it this time.
Okay. So again, it's sovereignharmony.com or sovereignharmony.biz. The .biz, B-I-Z site, is the more preferable for the business owner. And so Sovereign Harmony is all one word. It's S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-H-A-R-M-O-N-Y. Sovereignharmony.com and .biz, B-I-Z.
Okay, just the name just evokes a lot of questions. Here goes one. The word sustainability means so much, you know, different things to different people. What does sustainability mean to you?
And that brings me back to that great phrasing you had earlier about, you know, hug yourself first and then hug others and, you know, hug your employees and then go hug the trees. Sustainability to me is entrenched, and it's part of our entire existence. It's the idea, again, of using energy in an optimal way. We have a society that runs on coffee, you know, and like you mentioned earlier, something like high fructose corn syrup. Okay. This, if people aren't familiar, you know, you hear the rhetoric in the commercials about how it's no different than other sugar, which is just, if you look at the research, it's just completely untrue. You know, it's a different way of running our systems, the different energy source, a different fuel. And this, you know, high fructose corn syrup is going to go right into fat, you know, fatty tissue. And that is not an optimal way for a human to be running energy. And so that's just, you know, one way that we're doing this to ourselves. You know, and caffeine is just ruining our adrenal glands. And this is our source of energy production. So, you know, it starts with the self, it starts with the person, mm-hmm. and making sure that we have a sustainable use of energy within us. And yeah, that comes, it's a personal choice about your own, you know, the word spirituality. To me, that just means your big picture view of things. Yeah. Well, how do things fit into a big picture for you? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to mean anything to do with what happens when we die or who you believe in or who you pray to. Just how do you see things? What is your big picture? And so, but it's your own personal choice of spirituality. Your big picture, how you take care of yourself, how you align yourself to that, you know, and how you live that, you know, and it's about making sure that we're not looking at our employees or our coworkers as, you know, someone to compete with or someone to just do our work, but someone that we're working with and is working with us. And it's that cooperation again and making sure that their energies are being used optimally. In other words, there's sustainability there. So once you have sustainability within the individual, then sustainability within, say, a company, which means that they have a better understanding of each other, their differences, and a better tolerance of those differences, and more understanding of how to utilize those for more positive avenues. Now you can go again, what we would call hug the trees now, which is this, you know, and that always gets like, you know, this bad rap that, you know, and this is that, and no one lays the guilt on thicker than someone who we might want to label as a tree hugger, right?
That's right.
It's like, if you're not hugging trees first, you know, shame on you. In other words, you're nothing, you're small, and this is so much bigger than you. So respect it first. And then, you know, it's just funny to me because when I see the two sides, like the right wing and the left wing, the right wing is very much more on the religious side. Mm-hmm. God is in charge, and the left wing seems to be more like, well, nature is in charge. And either way, you're putting someone else in charge.
That's right. That's right.
And so that's, again, it's about that inner sustainability, being your own authority.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one that can decide for you, and it's only from that space.
Mm-hmm.
It's from that space that you can then go interact with the outer world. In a more harmonious way. This is where the harmony comes from, you see? And mm-hmm. and then that's when we get into sustainability. Of course, there's different parts of it which are like waste reduction and redirecting waste, reusing waste. There's, you know, energy. Again, it comes down to energy. Where are we getting it from? Sources. Is it, how is that affecting us politically? Like you mentioned, you know, the foreign sources. Do we really want to be doing this, or do we want to be more sovereign in our energy? Do we want to produce our own energy? You see what I mean? How this works on a national level.
Good segue. You're starting to bring it home. Okay.
Yeah. And so, and that's the idea, is to be more sovereign in our energy. So we don't need to go out and find it, that we have it.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, you have a different way of approaching and a different perspective. What do you think of the imaging both sides are using for things like climate change, energy? One side says, oh, God, we're going to put everybody at work and we'll be a nation of 400 million people unemployed if we don't continue to use oil. And have the other side saying, oh, God, the world's going to end if we continue to use oil. What do you think of the messaging that is being used these days?
That is a loaded question. We don't have nearly enough time to get, but I would love to tackle the whole thing. But I will approach it at least somewhat. I'm someone that I consider, and you hear this from people, that they consider themselves in the middle, not leaning anyway, and I do consider myself in the middle. And of course, there's going to be, you know, very strong right-wing people that will think, no, you're on the left hiding out, or the people on the left, and they say, no, you're on the right, you're just hanging out. But, you know, and I understand it from their perspective where I might look. But I see both sides as ridiculous in both senses. You know, when I break down climate change, and I've done a lot of research of my own in climate, and the first thing is the term global warming, which is the worst phrasing for anything that has ever happened, in my opinion, because it immediately makes you think of temperature.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
The last place you want to look for evidence of change in the climate, which sounds counterintuitive, is going to be the thermometer, which is really just it's really just average temperatures, first of all, which is just like the high and the low for the day, which isn't even representative of the time average of how much energy was in the air that day, right? Which is come back to energy. You know, this goes back to my meteorology degree too, way back when. And, you know, and it gets you on this kind of tangent of temperature. And remember that those temperatures are also taken at a standard level. It's at 60 inches. Now we're using, you know, English units all across the world have decided to use these English units, not the metric system in this case, but 60 inches, 5 feet off the ground. This is where we consider official temperature readings. Okay. Yeah. And so, but it goes beyond temperature. So like when I hear people, you know, as soon as you get this giant cold snap, you hear the right wing say, see, what happened to this global warming? What happened? It's so cold. It's been snowing. And you get a winter like this one on the East Coast, or this past March in Chicago. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes,
they had like 6 days in a row of 80 plus.
Yes.
Okay. And so this comes back to the idea of, well, you know, you just said temperature didn't matter. Well, what does matter here is, first of all, you know, their record before this March go around was they had 2 days of 80 degrees or higher in any one March. Mm-hmm. So it is not unusual to hit 80 degrees in March in Chicago. That's not, which means it's always been capable to happen. But for 6 days in a row to occur in March when the atmosphere typically is moving much quicker at this time of year, that is unusual. It's the stagnation of that pattern. That's what flags it for me. It could have been stagnated the other way and it would flag it for me. Do you see what I mean? It had nothing to do with what the temperature was, but the pattern that developed that was out of whack, which was out of season. This was a June to July type pattern in March for sure. Okay. And then when you look at precipitation patterns and whatnot, the evidence is so clear, and you never even see this stuff in the arguments, because I think people, you, the general public, is not, you know, not ready to go deeper than temperature. It's just warmer, it's cold. It's warmer, it's cold. See, it's warm, it's global warming. See, it's cold, it's not global warming. You know, every winter, global warming doesn't exist. Every summer, it's here in fueled fire.
You know? What do you think of the term climate change then?
Well, I think it's a much better term, climate change, sure, but it's still, you know, they're still using the same, you know, the approach to energy, for example, like you brought up with climate change, you know, one side saying we have to use oil or else we're not going to survive, the other side, and you said, let's get off oil. Well, I mean, first of all, we have to conclude that humans are part of the problem, and you know, before I get into, you know, it's like, this is where I'm kind of come from the middle point here. When you do the research, and again, I'm going to have my own conclusions and whatnot. I mean, it's pretty clear that we are affecting the climate. That's my conclusion, that humans are affecting the climate, and where we're affecting it is in the carbon cycle. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So that's me, and mm-hmm. people can disagree with that. But what do we do about that? Because yes. I see all these different projections from computer models, which to me are just, that's where it gets ridiculous. This whole idea of like when I see Hansen, he's like the leading climate expert. Yeah. Okay. You know,
we got a call, but hold that thought. You're going green with EnviroBro. Hello.
Hey, this is Vanessa in Atlanta. How are you doing?
Vanessa in Atlanta. Say hello to Christopher Taylor from Sovereign Harmony.
Hey, Christopher, I want to know a little bit more about this coffee thing, caffeine thing. I've been trying to kick that for a year and can't seem to get past the headache.
Wow.
Well, that's good. Hey, you know, we really engage in a subject, so I, you know, really listen to the rest of the show, and then we'll do part two at another time. So,
yeah, please. I need that little advice here. You know, I didn't know it affects the adrenal glands, which might explain some things.
Ah, okay. Well, what's going on in Atlanta? What are you doing to be happy, healthy, and green out there?
Well, you know, this is going to be a good one. We're going to be with the humanitarian summit that is Emory. I talked about that maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And Living Healthy, Happy, Green actually will be hosting a panel of holistic healthcare innovators. Excuse me, I have a little bit of cold today. And environmentalists for a brainstorming session that will discuss the best ways to live happy and green.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So the interesting part of it is we're going to provide resources and some solutions for those who are in need. And the areas that we're really going to highlight are economy, that is people out of work with limited finances, and health and other considerations that our families really need to know as we age. We'll be videotaping and compiling stories and responses during the session. So we're going to invite everybody to come out and share something. Maybe we can learn a little bit about your success, or we can learn some of the hardships and things that we can look at to help people as they may face the same issues or situations.
Now, when and where is this taking place?
This is actually going to be on Emory's campus. It's going to be the summit's April the 14th to the 15th. Our panel is going to be April the 15th from 2 to 3 p.m. in the School of Medicine in room P178. And the cool thing is I've got a whole bunch of panel and speakers that'll talk about repurposing oneself, how to advise on career paths, alternative ways to get food on the dinner table, which we'll talk on, community gardens, home energy and innovations to reduce cost in the home so you can get prepared, or even just get yourself where you're out of paying these crazy bills, financing and budget, art as a sustainable outlet for those who want to make a little extra income. And then we'll go right into that health to help people really prepare for growing older.
Well, send the love. Tell everybody EnviroBro says hello, and I love you, and you can't do a thing about it.
I will do that, and thank you. And I hope everybody's living healthy, happy, and green. Have a wonderful EnviroBro week, and I will talk to you next Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Vanessa from Atlanta, Vanessa from Hotlanta. We'll talk to you next week. Where everybody you're listening to, Going Green with EnviroBro. And I've got Christopher Taylor. We've got some really good information. So hold on. Check your Facebook page if you're listening on the computer. If you're on the radio, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this.
More than jazz. Sacramento Smooth Vibe. Sunday afternoons, 12 to 4, with Leon Guidry. No one does it better. Sacramento Smooth Vibe on 97.5. It's a whole lot more than jazz.
You look great in black.
Are you for real? I buried my uncle today.
Picking up mourners at a funeral is, well, wrong. Tell us what you think. And read more at litteringiswrongtoo.org.
How's your aunt's health?
Visit litteringiswrongtoo.org today.
The public's attention these days is focused intently on the problem of global warming and the damage we're doing to the earth.
Now's the time to confront this challenge once and for all. Delay is no longer an option.
Whoa. Here you go again.
The Going Green program. It's on, and it's on Sacramento's premier foundation station. Now here's Leonard Robinson.
Hey, we're back on Going Green. You got to love this segment, listening to Christopher talk about, you know, just his view of sustainability, and it very valid points. And you know what? If you want to hear Chris in person, he's going to be speaking at the Realizing the Green Dream, which takes place Wednesday, April 11th from 9 to 2 at Cal EPA headquarters, which is 1001 I Street in Sacramento. That's, you know, Realizing the Dream, Wednesday, April 11th, 9 to 2, And you can find out more information, www.jadegreencommunity.com. But it's at the Cal EPA headquarters, the Platinum Leeds building on 10th and I Street. And you're going to have a lot of good speakers, along with Chris, LaRonda Bowen from ARB, Jim O'Neill from the Small Business Administration, Raheem Reed from UC Davis, Anzia Williams from KCRA will be there. Noel Perry, a good friend of mine from Next 10, will be speaking, as well as Kevin Gibbs from Regis. EnviroBro will be there, and Chris will be there. So if you want to hear these great ideas in person, come on down next week, next Wednesday, April 11th. Okay, Chris, you know, we're getting towards the end of the show, but it was really, really good. You know, you talked about people are the problem or people are the challenge. Do you believe that what we need to do, people are the solution?
In terms of climate change?
Yes.
In terms of all the
damage that we do.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that all goes back to my idea of sovereign harmony. It starts with within. It's each individual has to do it first. You can't have an authority tell you when. In other words, the government is mandating it, so therefore let's do it. You know, I've worked with clients that are mandated by, for example, California had to be LEED Silver. Any building, any California state building had to be LEED Silver. So when I was dealing with clients like that, I was just dealing with someone that had to go through the motions to be LEED Silver. They didn't really care. And, you know, but this is what I mean. My ideal client is someone who wants to optimize themselves or at least wants to catch up with the rest of the market, mm-hmm. not because they have to, because they want to.
Yes.
And that's huge. And so that's a big part of it when it comes to climate change specifically. Like you said, I mean, I can't get into all the details of why I come to my conclusions and opinions that, yes, the carbon cycle is disrupted, and yes, humans are more than likely a big contributor of that. And I think it's pretty obvious when you look at it, but that doesn't negate the realities. And the realities, the additional realities out there are, for example, there's climate change going on every planet in our solar system right now, not just Earth. The sun is doing something. It's shifting, it's changing. Whether that's because of where our solar system is within the galaxy, there's a whole lot of things you can get into, but we won't. But there are changes.
Yes.
And even if we tighten up what we're doing, mm-hmm. so we have no carbon added to the, you know, to balance carbon, in other words, okay, we still have to deal with a changing planet. And what people don't realize is that the last 10,000 years, roughly, have been some of the most stable years. Mm-hmm. The only years that agriculture, as we know it, on its grand scale, could exist. Mm-hmm. Okay, in other words, this is not normal, quote unquote.
Yeah,
this
what's normal? Not, yeah.
Yeah, what is normal?
What is normal?
Cannot support what we take for granted. So I think of it like this analogy of like, think of your child on a swing. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's a little out of control. Okay, she's swinging back and forth, and it's a, you know, and you're kind of worried like, does she need another push or does she not need another push? When you realize that your next push might send her over the edge and off of that seat, are you going to push? You know? But even if you don't, she still might fall off.
That's a great graphic. Well, people, this is the type of stuff that you're going to hear next week at the conference. I guess my producer's waving his finger, and so it looks like the one that says it's time to go and not the one that he's mad at me. So anyway, hey, Chris, thanks for taking time out your schedule to come on the show.
Great. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
You know, it's really good. We got into the meat of it. Where everybody, you've been listening to Going Green with EnviroBro. Couple things coming up. Sustainable Brands Conference, June 4th through the 7th at Paradise Point Hotel in San Diego. Just go to www.sustainablebrands.com for the ultimate in conferences. Next week, we've got the Realizing the Green Dream given by the Jade Green Community. So you've been listening to Going Green with EnviroBro on KDEE 97.5 FM. Finally, radio for the green and sexy. We'll talk to you next week.